Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 990 of Locked On Raptors for Friday. Yeah, Friday, July the 23rd. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter as always at WoodleySean. You can find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode of the podcast. And of course, please make sure to check out the entirety of the Locked On Podcast Network, including the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. It's going to be awesome. It's rounded out today. It is awesome. It already exists and is awesome. Today's the last of 5 days. You get every pick in the first round with all the local hosts from the network, as well as experts like Chad Ford, Raphael Barlow, Sam Ferris, the Draft Dudes. It's an endless stream of excellent experts. You've got Ryan McDonough, former GM of the Phoenix Suns. It's just a loaded show. Well produced, well put together. It's fantastic. Go and subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft right now. And also, just a heads up, next Thursday, if you don't want to watch ESPN's draft coverage with awkward fellows who are not really meant for TV standing in front of boards and pointing at things, I highly recommend you check out Locked On's draft production. We are going to be doing a TV show from down at the WFAA studios down in Dallas, Texas, one of our Tegna stations, as we are now part of their family. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be hosted by John Corrales, one of our pals here from Locked On Raptors. He's been on this show a ton of times. We've got Chad Ford in the studio. Raphael Barlow is going to be in the studio making his television debut, which is awesome. We've got experts that are going to be dropping in, as well as the local hosts from across the Locked On network popping in to talk about the teams as they make their picks, including myself. It's going to be great. I'm going to be in a hotel room in Halifax dropping in. That's going to be a ton of fun. And I really can't recommend it enough. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be available in the States on the Odyssey app. Maybe you can get that in Canada too. I'm not sure. You're going to be able to stream it on Roku, Fire TV, all that stuff. In addition, it'll be on the Locked On NBA YouTube page. I can't express enough. I've been in the planning meetings for this. It's been awesome to see it all come together behind the scenes. I haven't lifted a finger because it's not my wheelhouse, but I've seen the work in action, and man, it's going to be so freaking good. I can't really recommend it enough. So go and watch the Locked On NBA live draft show. That's going to be next Thursday during the draft on the Locked On NBA YouTube page, as well as all of the Odyssey platforms on your special TV devices. Sure, that's a way to describe that. All right, let's get to today's show, where once again I'm joined by PD Webb. It was an awesome conversation yesterday. We talked about the Jalen Suggs and Green, dove deep on them, talked about weaknesses, you know, ways they can improve, things like that, the fit with the Raptors. And we talked today about Evan Mobley with PD Webb as well. This one was really fun. I haven't dug as deep into Evan Mobley as we did in this conversation, and it really did a lot to convince me that Evan Mobley is the guy that you kind of give up everything for. You know, there were the rumors yesterday that the Raptors might trade up to try to get Evan Mobley with the Cavs. Who knows? All of this draft smoke screening beforehand, none of it really means anything. Don't take anything without millions of grains of salt. It's impossible to ascertain exactly what the hell's going on here. Agent noise and all that stuff. It's not really worth digging into. If they move up, great. That would be awesome. Evan Mobley seems like he's fantastic. And the description in this podcast, there's a point that comes up here where PD's talking about what the Raptors defense could look like with Evan Mobley, Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby paired together. And I have a physical reaction to him describing that I detail on the podcast. It's wild, man. I've never had a reaction like that ever thinking about anything. It was wild. It just kind of overtook my body. So you have that to look forward to, me losing control of my limbs and spine on the podcast. That's fun. But yeah, we also dig into what makes him such a special defensive prospect, where his offensive game is, what if there are weaknesses, what are there? That's a pretty short part of the podcast. And then I also throw a question to PD at the end. If he were to reach for someone at four and go off board, off the consensus of Jalen Suggs, assuming he's the one there left at four, I asked him who he would take, and he gave me a very interesting and cool answer, and then we kind of dove into what a chaotic mess this draft has the potential to be. That's very fun, too. It's a really good chat. I hope you enjoy it, and hopefully this rounds out some good draft coverage. People have sent in nice words about the draft coverage we've been doing, which is impressive because I know nothing about the draft, so I guess it means I've gotten some good people on to talk about it. We'll continue to do that, of course, next week. We'll probably dive into more second-round options at the start of next week. We'll continue to sort of, you know, do the Suggs versus Green versus Mobley thing, because that is good for lots and lots of days of content, I suppose. And we will have, obviously the draft covered for you on next week's podcast, too. So that's enough of me rambling off the top. We'll get into the conversation with PD Webb in just a second here. But first, I want to tell you, before we get to that, about our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track the action at BetOnline. Of course, it's a playoff race time. The trade deadline's coming up in like a week, which is very exciting. Also, we'll be doing a live trade deadline show for Locked On. If you're a baseball fan, you can tune into that on the Locked On MLB YouTube page next week. But I digress. The BetOnline's great. You can get all the latest news, odds, information, sport for all your sporting needs, including MLB. And then you've got NBA, NHL futures. You've got the NFL coming up as well very soon, too, kind of sneakily. It's like 6 weeks away from starting. Go and check it all out at BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device, and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, they are your online sportsbook experts, and be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus. All right, let's get to it now. Myself and PD Webb talking mostly about Evan Mobley, a little bit at the end about some other guys in the draft in particular, someone that he would consider reaching for at number four, who I won't spoil. I think I accidentally spoiled yesterday, but that's fine. If you don't remember that, that's good. Here's the conversation about Evan Mobley with PD Webb. Let's quickly hit on Mobley here. I'm taking way too much of your time, but I love hearing you talk about this stuff because you're very smart. But Mobley is seemingly, you know, among like Raptors internet, kind of like the one everyone's kind of lusting after the most. He obviously addresses a need that was so apparent this season at the center position with Aaron Baines and the rest of the crew. It was just such a, like, talk about recency bias, like, you know, and I mean, obviously they've had good center play, and having good center play is very important, but I wonder if there's like even more sort of like, oh my God, Mobley is the answer sentiment because of how bad it was this past season in particular. But also, like, he's awesome. There's no denying it. He's a transcendent defensive prospect, it seems, from all accounts. He's projected to have sort of wing skill at his size as well. Sure, I think there's some concerns about size and can he really sort of like hang with the big beefy dudes, but also how many big beefy dudes are there actually, and does it matter that much, especially if he's dragging said big beefy dudes out to the perimeter and cooking them off the dribble. What's your read on Mobley? He just seems like an absolutely tantalizing prospect. As you mentioned, he's kind of been in the spotlight for a long time too, and there's been a lot of time to watch this dude, and there's a lot to like there. Are you bullish on him, becoming, the sort of all defense, Anthony Davis type player that we've seen? I know comps are stupid. You don't want to do comps, but like, are you kind of bullish on him hitting his high end outcomes, or are there some things there that maybe sort of give you pause as to whether or not he'll actually be able to reach that full potential?
I think that if I were to start with weaknesses with Mobley, it's that he's pretty unlikely to put on a lot of weight.
Sure.
There may always have to be at least one roster consideration for just like having a big strong man.
Yeah.
To just throw at the Embiids of the world. The internet age during Shaq, where it's like, yeah, we have to devote three roster spots to Shaq fouls. But that's as far as roster allocation for every player, requires a calibration of the rest of the roster in an ideal situation, and like that's not that difficult. That is kind of the limit of my concerns about Mobley, like serious concerns. Because I mean, he's about 7 feet tall. He didn't do official measurements. He's probably like 6'11 and a half without shoes or whatever. 6'11 and a half. Long wingspan and probably the best movement skills I've ever seen for someone right. his size. He's the only prospect that I've watched in my life get pump faked into the air and jump into somebody and never and not get called for fouls by college refs because he's able to like contort his body in midair while maintaining verticality and like sort of bumping into the you know the shooter enough to challenge them, but not enough that the ref blows the whistle. And I've seen him do that like 15 times during this college season. And like college refs will, if you you know shoot a loaded glance at somebody, they will call. Mobley can cover a huge amount of space extremely quickly. He is one of the few prospects I've seen who enjoys switching because he likes to embarrass guards. It's not like, oh, yeah, I can hold my own. It's like, oh, no, you've made it. Like, you have made a terrible mistake. I'm here to, like, I'm going to slide with your handle, and, like, you should not shoot. Because if you're going to shoot, I'm going to try to punch it. And there were many a guard in college who, like, thought that it was sweet to try to get Mobley on an island. And he's like, oh, no. You know, it was basically the Bane speech of, like, you're not in here with me. Or I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me. And I think that when we talk about switchability, like we often think about like, okay, just like do an okay job. And like, you know, as long as the defense can't hunt you, but like at times it felt like Mobley was hunting switches the other way, which is really impressive and speaks to his movement skills, his ability to like predict how defenders are going to set up their moves and close down space. His second jump and his ability to load is like close to Bagley. I know it's not as violent in terms of like getting off the floor, but like there were times where people were like went up for putbacks and Mobley was still on the ground when they were touching the ball and he would punch it. It's pretty nuts. I think that ideally you want him to, as a rookie, to play the four defensively because like he has high hips. He's pretty easy to move out of spaces. He's able to just like sort of recover with his ability of negotiating angles and his length a lot of times. But like, you know, there are people who did wallop him. But as a weak side rim protector, he's just a terror. He doesn't ever foul. I mean, partially by design because his team needed him to play in games. But also like he's just that good at body control and understanding of verticality. And like knowing which balls to jump for. Like a lot of young bigs, I mean we've all seen this on the Whiteside, like try to high point floaters that are like 15 feet in the air. It's just like, that's not going to happen. But he'll still jump for it. By the time he's landed, the ball's at the rim and the big gets the put back. It doesn't show up on his stat sheet. So, you know, some advanced stats love him. You know, we had that debate 7 years ago or whatever. That will never happen. Like Mobley just like has been, you know, trained on the, like, if your man scores at any point, it's your fault. It's really refreshing to see a young guy who's just not chasing blocks to the point where I was just like, I would like you to chase some more blocks. And I think that's what, like, I think that my ideal developmental circumstance is sort of the version of Mobley that the, I would say if you are the most optimistic about Pascal and OG and Kyle leaves, then Mobley is your dream situation. Like, again, I'm not trying to, I don't think that there is a right answer for this. I'm just trying to speak to different, you know, segments of fans who have different reasons. Because I think that all of these, like, you're in a great situation, you're going to get one of the four best prospects in this draft, have fun. So like if you are a believer that Pascal is, you know, close to the final, is basically, you know, a some version of the finals Pascal that we saw, a guy who can you know, really shift a defense, a guy who, like, when the jumper is on, it's a problem for all five defenders who have to be in a chain and really have to deal with his counters. And the passing is, you know, is very much developed. And, you know, the shooting, like, that was all, Tampa didn't happen. And you're also really bullish on OG. You want OG to have usage. Then you can play one of those two at the five and say, Mobley, okay, you also have to shoot. Not stick him in the post, because, I mean, he's not a post scorer. I mean, he has a fadeaway that, like, is released at 11 feet in the air, but that's his move. Is being able to fade away. He's never going to be, you know, you dump it in. He has a jump hook he likes. He has a fadeaway he likes, but he's not that is not his game. It's going to be face-ups. It's going to be attacking, you know, out of one dribble. His hang dribble is eerily effective for a 7-footer. And he has such big strides that if he gets a little bit of space at the hip level, doesn't matter. He can just elongate out. I think that the Raptors can build a fascinating defense of basically having three, like 4.5s on the floor at the same time. And also building an environment where Mobley is forced to do his challenging developmental context, where it's like, okay, we need you to shoot. We're going to use you as a roller and a popper. Like we can, you know, we can, because of how like the uniqueness of OG and of Pascal, it allows Mobley's, like Mobley was, you know, raised as a point guard. He clearly like over, he is a person who intellectualizes the game. You could see him thinking out what's going to happen next. And at times his aggressiveness is simply the fact that like he's trying to find the best shot for his team instead of just hitting the, like, I'm the best player on the floor, let's make something happen button, which, you know, happens for many prospects. They're just like, okay, this session went far enough. It's time for me to figure it out. And Mobley just doesn't really have like that impulse. He can get forced into it, but it's pretty uncommon. Like, I think there was only like two games where he really went into like, okay, it's time for me to dominate by, you know, doing things that people can't stop, like, you know, taking an infinite amount of 18-foot turnarounds or whatever. But by putting him into situations where it's like, okay, sometimes you're going to be a cutter, sometimes you're going to be a popper, or we can use space on this possession, we're going to give you a little bit of rolls. For many prospects, that is a death sentence, asking them to do so many things. But for a player with such high feel and that is good in so many areas and probably is most engaged when they're being asked to do a lot of little, like a lot of, you know, of spreading their usage pretty thin, I think that you would then have a player who would fit that space perfectly as a rookie, you know, not being asked to shoot 20 times a game or whatever, but instead, you know, solving all these little problems. And then on defense, you would just be just a black hole. You could basically run any coverage you wanted to. You could throw Mobley on wings. You could throw him on guards, like not like ones, but you could throw him on twos and then have, you know, switch OG onto, or you just start hard hedging. You could do basically anything. You could play drop if you really wanted to and have the wings be ultra aggressive and like funnel downhill. And the rotations would just be nuts. It allows for fun roster construction. Cause I mean, again, we're assuming in this circumstance, like Lowry would leave, you could kind of like go crazy and get just like really offensive tilted guards. Not Lou Williams. I think Lou's a little past, you know, the level of impact that the Raptors are looking for. But just guys in that model where it's like, okay, if you want to get buckets, like we have all of the help side behind you could possibly imagine.
And Jamal Crawford's making a comeback, baby.
Yeah. Jordan Crawford, maybe.
Any Crawford, it works. Yeah. I just give a little bit of color as you're talking about what the Raptors could do defensively with OG, Siakam, and Mobley. I literally have a tingle going down my spine. Thank you for making it sure that I'm going to be absolutely crushed when he gets picked third by the Cavs.
Oh, look, that's just the spirit of Nick Nurse smiling, because I don't think that would make any, I don't think it would, anything would make him happier. He could just sit in that really wide arms akimbo stance he loves, but he would be smiling while he's doing it. It wouldn't be like the sad version. Like, then be the happy version of like, yes.
Yeah. It'd be like doing his crouch, but it's because his knees are weak and not because he's angry at a ref.
Or no, he wants to be a part of the vibes. Just everybody sitting down and rotating. He's like, it's beautiful. I love it. I mean, I think that's the beauty. Like, the reason why I said like four is such a wonderful spot is like, I think that there is something for basically every interpretation of this roster. And that's not because like that's how drafts usually work. That's because this draft is like uniquely suited for the Raptors. And so basically any outcome of 1 through 4 would have given them, like, without really a compromise in vision, able to like move seamlessly into the next phase. Obviously Cade is, you know, the one pick, and you know, it's not that, oh, it's okay to go from 1 to 2. Is the like, well, there's not a fundamental difference in how you would approach a rebuild. It's just the like, yeah, there's most likely a small step down. Where if you would, you know, this happened at 7 or 8, some of those avenues would not be possible.
Yeah.
And even in previous drafts.
No, go ahead.
Even in previous drafts, like if you had gotten, you know, it's not the, people always like, oh yeah, we got the fifth pick in a four player draft. It's like, well, it's not a four player draft for everybody. There are some teams where it's a three player draft, even though there's four players, because you just don't have the ability to maximize that fourth player, or it's not a fit for you, or your coaching staff doesn't, you know, believe in that particular archetype. And so like for some teams, like it's a six player draft or a seven player draft or a nine player draft. And other teams, it's a two player draft. If they get three, they're kind of out of options. And the Raptors landed within their perfect range of guys they could seamlessly optimize without really altering anything. And like, you got to feel great about that.
All right, we're going to finish off the chat about Evan Mobley and then who PD would take with the fourth pick if he were to go off consensus. It's a really good chat. Obviously, it's been good so far, and it will continue to be good. And I'm glad. I hope the audio is a little bit better today. It's a little bit crisper, I think, so hopefully that's not too distracting. Again, PD's on the road covering high school, you know, tournaments and stuff where Bronny James is playing. He's in hotel rooms with shoddy internet. He did his best to make it work, and we very much appreciate that and his time. But anyway, let's get to one more sponsor before we get to the end of the conversation. And that is, of course, Built Bar, who are making the best tasting protein bars money can buy. They are awesome. I really can't recommend Built Bars enough. Of all the products we have on the podcast here, they're the ones I've consumed the most because they're good for you. They make you feel like you're cheating when you're not, and they are a nice little meal replacement. If you don't want to be bogged down by a big heavy breakfast or something like that, it's a wonderful way to start your day. I don't like to eat a big breakfast. It just doesn't really sit with me super well. But if I have a Built Bar, I'm off and running, baby, and I can go for a workout or something like that and know I have the fuel I need to get by. If you don't know what flavor you want, and they have 9 staple flavors to try, you can go and get yourself a mixed box where you can get 2 of each of the 9 flavors all mixed into one box, and you can decide which one is your favorite among all those. It's a great way to go about it, and then you can order a full box of your favorite after the fact. Most of the flavors have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. All flavors are amazing, they are all tasty, and they're all healthy for you too. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That is the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, let's finish up the chat now with PD Webb talking Evan Mobley a little bit more, and then who we would look at, he would look at with the fourth pick if the Raptors were to go off consensus and surprise the world. Enjoy.
Yeah, I really can't get over how fortuitous it is that they jumped up like to this specific spot. Yeah, 2 or 3 would have been nice, but man, it's just 4 seems like, as you said, at the very top, like it is kind of the point of the draft where things pivot. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful turn of events after a truly, truly terrible, awful, no good hell season. And it's kind of made it all worth it. And it's been really fun to kind of think about these things and how it all would come together. And, you know, I think that it does feel a little bit sort of predetermined, like Suggs is going to be the guy. I would sort of advise against, predicting anything, because the draft always seems to go weird. And, you know, the Raptors, they really, really feel like they got to make Nick Nurse happy and go get Mobley and give him the defense of his dreams. Then maybe they offer some sort of, you know, future asset to move up or something try to grab Mobley. Anything can happen. It's why we're talking about these guys at length like this. And, I've taken far too much of your time, and I'm definitely going to turn this into 2 parts of a podcast because this has just been awesome. But last thing I have for you here, PD, before we let you go, you know, we've talked about these 3 guys. They feel like the preordained guys. I personally am not super in on the idea of Scotty Barnes just because he feels like, you know, someone you do have to work a little bit more to fit into what the Raptors do. You know, the lack of scoring, you know, the sort of having to mine that over the course of multiple years, probably, and sort of build that up to something where he is, you know, a scoring threat, feels like it's maybe a little bit too much, especially for the timeline they're on right now. You know, Kuminga's there too. He hasn't really been, you know, floated around. I know he worked out for the Raptors, but doesn't seem like there's a lot of noise there. Again, the noise, all grains of salt, millions and millions of grains of salt with all the noise. But my question to you, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and I did tell you I was going to ask you this, so it's not really putting you on the spot, but if you were at number 4 and the Raptors, you know, are on the clock, and say it's Suggs there at 4, you know, who's available, who is the guy, if you were going to go off consensus, you know, just from your personal taste and preference and the potential fit with the Raptors? Obviously, you're going to have a different set of evaluations than the Raptors themselves, but personally, you, who would you reach for there at four? You know, obviously trading down would be number one if you're going to reach for a guy, but you know, if you're going to take a guy at four who is not one of those consensus three, who would it be and why?
Do you want the somewhat off the wall pick, or do you want to go really off
the wall? Give me the off the wall. Sure, why not?
Okay. So I would like to make an argument for Sharif Cooper.
Sharif Cooper. All right.
So I think that this is an idea that, like, we talked about, you know, there being a four or five player draft, you know. You know, that it shifts depending on how you view a franchise. And that, sure, let's say you fall into that last category where you're like, I believe that Pascal and OG, like, have real creation upside. And, you know, what they need is just like a little bit of table setting. Sharif Cooper got to the rim or got to the free throw line at like a 56% as like a 5'11" slight freshman. In the SEC, that everyone's like the most weightliftingest conference in the nation, and he lived at the rim and he didn't have a jumper. If you believe that jumpers are fixable, you want to take players who have, you know, outlier skills. Like Sharif's probably the best passer in the draft, and he's also probably the best advantage creator. And if you believe that you can fix that, you have the development staff to fix shooting and just specifically shooting off the dribble, you basically have the perfect complement for those two. This argument could be used for many of the players. Like, I mean, Jaden Springer is one that I've been high on for a long time. If you wanted to lean me out, or if you believe that, like, you just wanted to stack up really fun defensive players, you have Francois Wagner, who you could, you know, coax into shooting more with shooting development and explanation of role, sort of similar to the Mobley idea of having, you know, 3 4.5s. Francois is just a hideously good the rotational defender. The thing is, if you believe in your development staff and understand exactly where in development their strengths lie, it makes swings not so much like, oh, I'm gonna take a risk, and like, oh, I'm taking an informed risk on, sure, what I know my development staff can do well and what our environment enables. Right. So I would say if I believe that shooting development is a thing we'll do, and that I have wings who can cover a bunch of defensive ground, it's like, hey, remember how we talked about, if you got Mobley, you know, you could take your pick on one-way offensive players.
Sure.
Well, maybe it's not, maybe you don't need three awesome long defenders. Maybe it's two and a half, and you could always find, right, a half later. So why not take a big swing and see if you can, you know, no one has ever had too much passing and advantage creation.
I love it. And we did a podcast earlier this week about the Raptors potentially packaging some stuff and moving back into the first round. And, you know, it seems like Cooper's probably going to be gone before, you know, that sort of back end of the first round range. But, man.
You say that, but I will say that this draft is going to be chaos. Like, the second that the lottery, I mean, I did a live stream with some friends in the community when the lottery came before we all were like, oh, well, you know, what does everybody want to happen? And I was like, I want none of the people with two picks to move up. Like, I want everybody to have double picks just to have draft to be crazy. And that's literally what happened, was that all those teams, you know, like, what did 19 and 20 do for, you know, a team? It's like, well, why not just move up? And yeah, there goes your big board. It's like, well, what do, you know, what does a pick in the mid first and, you know, the 20s do for a franchise? Oh, why not move up? You know, if you feel like it's a three person draft for your organization, you got the fifth pick, I guess you got to move down. And I think we're just going to see, on top of all of like the likely player movements and how many, you know, a sort of unnaturally high amount of players are unsettled, I just assume that this is going to be like a pandemonium draft. And that, like, instead of Woj coming up with new adjectives for selected, we're going to have one where people are working phones and, you know, players, we can't figure out who's on what team. And I think we're going to have the Luke Ridenour off season of drafts.
Well, man, you've got me excited all anew. We're a week out, and this conversation certainly helped juice me back up, because this is really exciting stuff. And the Raptors are in a great spot. This draft's going to be chaos, hopefully, if you're correct, and you know, signs point towards that. So, very exciting stuff. PD, thank you so much for being here, man. It was lovely chatting with you. Where can people check out your work and support what you're doing?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Above the Big Three. I have a series on YouTube called Let's Watch Film, where I and a friend break down a single game of a prospect, talk about their strengths, talk about their weaknesses, talk about their pathways to development, using micro skills and understanding of player archetypes. It's great fun. Spend about an hour on a game. I have long form prospect breakdowns on my Patreon, which is always free. On I would say like 12 prospects in this draft. Taking up film took out a little bit of extra time, and I've started working at Cerebro Sports, which is a data company working on building simple and clean metrics that are easily understandable. And I've written a draft guide for them, which is, I believe, my pinned tweet now, and is a way maybe for people who are not as comfortable with analytics or maybe don't have as much of a use for them. A way of merging, I would say, me, a person who watches way too much basketball, with a data perspective to come to a more cohesive, concise insight.
Awesome, man. Everyone, go check out at Above the Break 3 on Twitter and all the great work going there. I've tuned into a couple of the Let's Watch Films as well. They're fantastic. It's, way smarter than I will ever be when it comes to breaking down prospects, but it's just fantastic stuff. And it's been one of my go-tos to sort of get myself caught up on this draft. And our boy Raphael was on there recently.
We did Jaden Springer together. That one was a lot of fun. We have Mobley and Jalen Green, and I have an hour and a half talking about Suggs' creation ability. Just that.
Awesome.
With it. So yeah, if you have, I believe we have everybody in the lottery for the most part. And I'm doing a mega prospect stream on the 27th that I think will cover literally everybody else. So I'm just going to spend basically all day breaking down film with friends.
That sounds great. Can't wait to check it out. Thank you so much for being here, man. And we will hopefully catch up with you sometime down the line. That's going to do it for this episode and this week of podcast. So thanks everyone for tuning in. As always, of course, just a few days left until the draft. We'll be back again next week, breaking it all down. Probably a mailbag episode early in the week. We'll have Vivek back on. Maybe there'll be some news about Masai Ujiri over the weekend. Who the hell knows? We will keep you all posted. And then, of course, the draft on the 29th will be covering full throttle. I will be on vacation starting on Thursday afternoon, and I will still be covering the draft from my hotel room in Halifax, because that's how much I care about you fine people. So that will do it. We'll talk to you again on Monday with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.